After several months of budget cuts, it was a surprise to some that the governor did not propose any more reductions in his supplemental budget. He will present that budget to the legislature's Joint Appropriations Committee on Monday. Prior to that meeting, the governor has agreed to join us to discuss his budget strategy. Let's talk a little bit about your budget. You released it just the other day. Looking at it, it didn't call for any more cuts. That might have caught some people by surprise. Would you explain why you did it that way?
Yeah, I may have caught some by surprise by no additional cuts, and I think I caught some by surprise by not adding a lot more back in. When the legislature finished their session last year, they made about $67 million in cuts. By the time May, June rolled around this summer, the Craig's outlook got a lot worse. And as a result of that, I had to take significant action and make about $250 million in cuts. As I came in and prepared my budget that I presented December 1st, I believe the $250 million, along with the cuts that the legislature had made, put us in about the right spot. I'm not cutting for just cutting sake. I want to make sure that we provide the services to the state of Wyoming, whether it is for roads, for health care, for our community colleges, University of Wyoming. And with that $250 that I cut, and with the things I have in my budget, that'll get us to next year and to the end of the biennium, rather, and put us in decent shape at the start of the biennium. In fact, we would anticipate we'd be, you know, $20, maybe $30 million to good starting next biennium. And so, while we still have a significant revenue shortage relative to where we've been in the past, I just think that my cuts, along with legislative cuts, are about right. Where we are today with this budget, if you compare it to 6 years ago, you know, we are down. And I think we needed to do that. We needed to respond to a situation where we have falling revenue. And my budget also, you know, other than contingency appropriations in case something happens at the pen or in case we can't cover Title 25 needs, or to fill back up a savings account, does not take any money out of the rainy day fund.
There were people that wondered if you wouldn't ask to add more money back into a couple of areas. You had mentioned at one point this fall, maybe corrections took a big cut. Of course, there's been a lot of people that have circled the Department of Health. Some even wondered if you might kick some more money back into the University of Wyoming. Did you give that some consideration? And, you know, why didn't you do some of that?
When I asked for cuts in June, the Department of Corrections provided me their recommended cuts, and I actually backed off those somewhat. I thought the cuts that they had were too deep. During the time after July 1st, we were continuing to stay in touch with the Department of Corrections, seeing where they were. There was a time where I thought I would need to put some money back in, but as things sorted out, it looked like they were okay. I will say that we're still watching Department of Corrections very closely to make sure, because it's a very tight budget for them. With regard to, you know, the Department of Health, they really took significant cuts. It wasn't just the $90 million that I cut from their agency alone. It was the about $48 million that of federal cuts that went with that because of the matching process. And so, significant cut there. We didn't see any opportunity to add money back in there that would be. I just didn't see a way to get that done. I did, as you note, as I know you know, add some money back in for the University of Wyoming for their enrollment program. I think that's an important program. I think the trustees and President Nichols have a very good vision on upping the enrollment at the University of Wyoming. I did put in some money for our community colleges for workforce development. We put a little money back in, insignificant as a percentage, but important symbolically, including the science initiative at the University of Wyoming, which I think is a wonderful thing that we have been working on. I think it's important for STEM education, for our young people, our state, and the future of our state to continue to press on STEM education. So There was a little bit put back in, but as I said, it's a small amount relative to the overall budget.
One last thing about the budget, and we talked a lot about education during your press conference on the budget, and that's certainly an area of concern. You want to form a committee, get some folks together looking at ways to trim or at least take a look at that funding model. Are you convinced that there's maybe a little too much money in that?
Well, I'm not prepared to say that. What I am prepared to say is that we just don't have the money to fund it as it is. And I actually asked the legislature last year to put together a committee to look at this because it's not getting any better. And, you know, the numbers are significant. You know, the estimate in 6 years will be $1.5 billion in the hole. The earlier you can get to work on what I think will be some needed cuts, as well as a very serious discussion on just revenue, the better the earlier we get started on that, the better. And so I suspect there will be some amount of cuts that happen this session in education, and there will be disagreement whether that money may be needed or not, I suspect, by some. But wherever you end up on that discussion, it's still a revenue situation. We just don't have the revenue to support it at the levels that we have in the past. And the legislature, I will say, has been very supportive of education, not only on the funding for operations, but also CapCon, building schools. But we just can't continue on that trajectory because the revenue is not there. And so while there will be disagreement with whatever cuts are made, whether they are appropriate or excessive, revenue is going to be the driving discussion on that. We just do not have the revenue to support it at the level that we have in the past.
You have been on record in recent months opposing tax increases. I think you were asked about it in September when the Revenue Committee was talking about some of these things. Have you changed your mind as you've looked at the financial picture, not only involving education, but maybe our revenue challenges that we have right now?
Well, I think, just on the education side, I mean, I don't think anybody's in favor, and I'm still not in favor, but I think that if we're going to put together a legislative-driven task force, which I do think is appropriate, I don't want to predetermine that here's what's on the table and here's what's off the table. I think they need to look at everything, including not only cuts, but I also think it's very important that they look at the revenue side and you know, whether it's mills or something else. I think that is a fair discussion to have, as much as distasteful as it is to, I'm sure, most of us. I think that's a very important discussion for them to have. And I think that, I want to challenge myself, the executive branch and legislative branch, to look at the entire picture. And we also need, our teachers, school districts, and parents involved in this discussion, because I don't think it's sufficient just to say that our Supreme Court said this and Campbell Case 1 and Campbell Case 2 are the end of the story. We need participation in the solution, because if the legislature just makes these cuts without full participation and information from our school districts, we're not going to do it in the best way possible. So I think that's the other advantage to making sure our school districts are very involved. And if cuts are made, they help us direct the places where that should take place the least disruptive way possible.
In the final couple of minutes we have, I want to quickly throw a couple of questions your way and just get your thoughts on them. We're a lot of discussion on this federal lands back in state hands. Obviously, you have a little family history there, maybe the opposite way. But I'm curious your thoughts about those proposals.
I think that, the people that put that together, I think they were trying to put together something that showed if that happens that, there will be things will maintain the same way. They weren't trying to get the land sold or transferred. But as you may remember, this is an issue that came up probably 4 years ago, maybe 5 years ago. I've had, two attorney generals look at, the legal, if that's even legally possible for why I'm going to get those lands back. They have both indicated that that is is not going to happen. So that's sort of on the legal side. On the policy side, you know, I revert back to 2012, where we paid $45 million fighting fires on the state side. The feds paid another $45 million. You know, there's a cost associated with managing those lands properly. That would have been a $90 million fire season for us. And I recognize, you know, as I'm trying to diversify our economy and I look at the outdoor recreation opportunities in the state, hunting and fishing, that public lands are important to a lot of people in Wyoming to have access to that quality of life that's provided for them. And so, first, I think there's a big legal question, and second, a policy question. And what I have said is worthwhile is, you know, if you wanted to do this on a pilot project with a section of land and do baseline studies and see where the habitat is, you know, the wildlife, the water, air, soil, and give the state 10 or 20 years to manage it and see if we could do it better for less money and have more multiple use, you know, that's worth looking at.
Last question for you. Do you think the Trump administration is going to bring back energy prices?
Well, I think they're going to bring back energy. I think they're going to have more robust energy production. And with that, you know, the more you produce, that can have an adverse effect on prices. But I think what will help on prices is that by having more people involved and with predictability that I think the Trump administration will bring to mineral development, I think it'll help the industry as a whole. We still recognize the market. I mean, because of great technology, natural gas prices have put a pressure on coal, and there's a lot of natural gas out there, great due to the great innovation of our American producers. So I'm hopeful that the Trump administration has what I think is important to have a more sensible approach to the permitting, that they can get it done in a shorter order.
We never have enough time. Governor Matt Mead, always a pleasure. Thank you.
Bob, thanks so much for your time. I appreciate the opportunity.